So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be in this series entitled, You Said What? And we're going to deal with this theme of words and the power that our words possess. And for some of you, you're going to hear some things and you're going to think, I didn't know I needed to be taught this. And you're going to see in the matter of these few weeks to come how much you need and how much I need to be taught these truths. Some of you have forgotten and some of us need to be reminded. But I believe at the end of this journey, at the end of these 4 weeks, I do believe that God in his grace is going to do a profound work in us, that we will have a new respect for the power that we possess, that we all possess simply with our words. You say, Matt, are words really that powerful? Are words really that powerful? So in your Bibles, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to tell you the Bible starts with a very familiar, and you may not have even known it was actually written in the Bible, but you have maybe heard it before and thought it was an expression. It actually is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible reads, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the world, all that we enjoy, all that is around us, God has created. In the beginning, God created, and you might be surprised to know how he did that. If you want to read this, and I encourage you to sometimes do this, in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, you will read in every creative day, every creative act, whether it be God separating light from darkness, God separating the dry land from the sea, every act of creation, the Bible says God does it by a spoken word. God speaks it. He does not wave a magic wand. He does not tap a golden scepter. He does not hold up a rod as Moses did. The Bible says he simply speaks. He says to light, let there be, and there is light. He says to the sea that you're only to come so far and no further. He speaks it. There is power in God's spoken word, powerful enough to create something out of nothing. As a matter of fact, some of the confidence and much of the confidence that I have in what I do on any given Sunday is because I am a communicator of those very words, God's word. You need to realize in Isaiah chapter 55, an Old Testament book, God is speaking and he says, so it is with my words that proceed out of my mouth. He says, they will not come back void. There's power in God's word. It says it will accomplish the very purpose for which I sent it. And so you need to know if you are a communicator of God's word, there is power in that. And you might think, well, nobody wants to hear. Whatever I say may not make much of a difference. Anytime you communicate God's word, it is eternal. And God is using you as a temporal mouth to communicate eternal truth. And I'm telling you, forever can change in people's lives who hear it. God's word is powerful because words are powerful when they come from our Creator. So he spoke the world into existence. And Jesus said about these words, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but he lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's a high priority upon the words of God. But I'm telling you today, and what I want us to start with in our study, is that words are powerful because they connect. Words connect. Words connect God to us. Words connect us to God. So the reason why I know much of what I know, which may not be all too much in the grand scheme of knowing, but what I do know about the Lord, I know because of his word. Well, the character of God, what I have been shown, what has been revealed to me, has been done so through his word. That's why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, to be in God's word. And this is my concern, and this is part of the reason why we're doing the Fresh Start class, is because I'm not going to call your name, and you're going to think I'm talking about you, but unfortunately, there's so many of you, I'm probably not talking about you, that fall in the category of the only time you ever have any access to the Bible, the only time in your given week where you ever hear God's word or read God's word is what you do here on a Sunday morning. Can you only imagine if you treated your physical body the way you treat your spiritual body? Can you only imagine if only you ate a buffet on Sunday morning, never to eat the rest of the week? Can you imagine how sick and tired you would get? Can you imagine how everything would just be harder in life without having daily nourishment? And yet that's what many of us have reduced our spiritual lives down to. And listen, we all have justifications for that. We all have reasons for that. But I'm telling you, if you're not in God's word, then you're missing out on an incredible opportunity to connect with God and for God to connect with you. If you're in a growing relationship with Jesus today, I'm telling you, without even knowing your story maybe, it is due to the influence of the word of God. So if I can challenge you to do anything, and get to know God better, but you can get to know God better, and the way you get to know God better is through his word. And it doesn't take like all that much time. Like eating throughout your day doesn't take all your day. It just takes doing it consistently. Doing it consistently. It's like a habit that's been formed. Some of you eat when you're not even hungry. That's okay. Don't do it too much, but that's okay. In your spiritual life, you eat even if you're not hungry. You say, well, man, I'm truth with you. I'm really never hungry. Well, then keep eating or start eating and develop an appetite, because God's word is a way that God is seeking to connect with you. It's a way that you can connect with him. Can I tell you, ultimately, the way God chose to connect with us is by sending his son, Jesus. Jesus was sent for you and for me so that we as sinners, like I said before, that we could be invited to have a relationship with God that we were alienated from, we were separated from because of our sin. And yet God loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus to bridge the gap where you were to where he is so that we could be reconciled to God. That only happens because of Jesus. You say, well, how does that have anything to do with the word? Well, you just might find this interesting. There's many different descriptions of Jesus in the Bible, but one of the names given to Jesus in the Bible is the Word. He's the Word. And for those of you who might even know your Bibles well enough to know where I'm going with this, in John chapter 1, verse 1, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning says, in the beginning was the Word. Word to your mother. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking none other about the Lord Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning when God spoke the world into existence. There's Jesus. He would go on and say that all things have been created by him, this word, and nothing has been made which is made without him. Speaking of the word. And the Bible says, if you go down in chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible reads, and the word became flesh and he dwelt amongst us. I love what the Message version says. There's different versions of the Bible, different translations. So the Message is really not a translation. It's kind of it's great insight sometimes. I love how the Message puts John 1:14. Instead of saying, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, it says, and the word took on flesh and bones and moved into the neighborhood. Neighborhood of earth, of this planet. And the word became flesh, John says, and he has dwelt amongst us, and we have beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, and he's full of grace, and he's full of truth. John says, listen, God came and became a man. He came to us. He bridged the gap from where he was to where we are. By what? The word. And we have beheld him. We have seen him. We have listened to him. We have touched him, and he is as good as he says he was. He is full of grace, and he's full of truth, and our hearts aren't disappointed. So I'm telling you, there is power in words, ladies and gentlemen. It is the word that earth was created. It is the word that you and I have been given the opportunity to see God in flesh and to be reconciled to a Father, where before we were estranged and alienated, enemies of God due to our sin. But Jesus made all the difference because he's the word. Can I also tell you that words are powerful in the sense that they connect us to God? It's a two-way street. Not only does God connect to us through words, but we connect with God through words. And that's why we sing in church, ladies and gentlemen. It's words. In Psalm 100, the Bible talks about how we are to enter his courts with praise. We are to enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's something that you do audibly. That's something that you do with your mouth. That's something you do with your voice. And that's why some of you, I think to myself, man, I wish you'd sing more. Because it's a way that you can declare your faith. It's a way that you connect, whether you realize it or not, your heart is connecting with God through your praise, through your worship. And that is not resigned just to a Sunday morning, ladies and gentlemen. You can do that throughout your day. You can do that as you rise. You can do that as you go to sleep. You can do that throughout your day. I'm telling you, when you praise the Lord, when you worship, when you sing, and the Bible says a bunch about a lot of that, the reason for that, it connects your heart to God. Some of you, you feel maybe away from God. Maybe you're not as close to God as you used to be. Can I tell you a way to reconnect with God? Is to incorporate praise in your life. Thanksgiving. It's a way to have gratitude. And the opposite of that would just be a grumbler, which is a sign of unbelief and ingratitude. So speaking your thanksgiving, speaking your praise, singing your worship, it's an opportunity for your heart to be reminded, I'm not an earth dweller. This ain't my home. My home is with him, and I love you because you first love me. And it's a way that you can connect with him. Words are powerful. Words also can be used not just to sing, but to be said. And so that's why the Bible says a lot about prayer. That's why the Bible says over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. Now, some of you hear that verse and you're thinking to yourself, that's one of those preacher lines. Yeah, I get it. You're in the Bible. It's in the Bible, but man, I got work to do. How am I supposed to pray without ceasing? I don't know. The Bible says to do it, though. Figure it out. I didn't help you too much, did it? Figure it out. Smart people, pray without ceasing. It's an attitude of prayer. It's a disposition where your mind rests. Where like this week my mind's been resting on Irma a whole lot, just to be truthful with you. And I've done a lot of like being concerned about Irma. My mom and dad, they're not here today. They were supposed to be here today, leaving. They were supposed to leave tonight. My mom and dad left early because like every time I turned around this past week, they're watching the news, getting the great latest update on Irma, thinking it was going to Charleston. And when the update wasn't being given, they would be on their phones and on the Weather Channel app trying to find out the latest information. I'm thinking, you guys just need to go home. But you know, the Bible even says in the midst of worry, the Bible says, hey, don't worry about that stuff. Don't worry about anything. You say, that's easier said than done. Yeah, if you stop there, but the verse doesn't stop there in Philippians chapter 4. The verse says, don't worry about anything. Don't let anything make you anxious, but in everything, pray about it. Talk to God about it. And the Bible says, make your petitions known to God, which simply means make your requests known to God. And with thanksgiving, and the Bible says, if you'll do that, then the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, it will guard your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. So our words, listen, prayer is speaking words. It's words addressed to God. You're talking to a heavenly Father who loves you. And by the way, blow my mind, 7 billion people on planet Earth. When I talk, I've got the King's attention. Who am I? And who are you? And he'd be mindful of us. And yet he says, I want you to talk to me. I want you to talk to me. Our prayers, they connect us to God. Words are powerful, ladies and gentlemen. They connect God to us to God. That's why some of you are in Jesus today. That's why some of you are going to heaven today. As a matter of fact, every one of you who is in Christ on your way to heaven today, you're there because of words. Because there was a time in your life you prayed a prayer, as rough as it might have been, as inarticulate as it might have been. But if you're a believer in Jesus today, there was a moment in time you had to pray a certain prayer where you said, Jesus, I need you. Help me. Save me. Forgive me. I believe. A verse that will be used today throughout this world in pulpits across continents. You'll find in Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, and as I read these verses, I want you to pick up on how many times the reference to your mouth and what your mouth can do to the salvation that is provided. Chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Skip on down to verse 13. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're saying you can't be saved without words. You can't be saved. You can't be reconciled to God without calling upon him. Words are powerful. And I know it gets diminished and it gets marginalized and we don't think there's that much to it. And why in the world would you do 4 weeks on words? Because the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the one who eats its fruit, such you'll find the quality of your life. If your words bring death, I'm telling you, you'll still eat its fruit. It's just going to be bad. And so will the quality of your life. You'll miss out on God and you'll miss out on human connection. God's words connect. You say, Matt, do my words, do they really have the power to connect me to God? Do they really have the power to connect me to other people? That's why I'm preaching to you today and not animals. Because that's what separates us. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says when God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says he breathed into him the breath of life. And at that moment, the Bible says he became a living being. A living being, Adam became. So all of us, if you're here and you are, and you're not, you know, dead yet, which I'm praying no one is, here you are. You still got a pulse. You've been made. Hear me. You've been made in the image of God. And God has breathed into you to make you a living being. Now, I don't know a lot about what I'm about to tell you, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about what a little bit I know. In seminary, we had to take certain classes that were just prerequisites. I mean, you just had to take them. And so as a preacher, I had to take languages. So I had to take Greek, and that wasn't all that bad. And so when people say, it's all Greek to me, I can't use that expression because it's not that hard. Now, it's all Hebrew to me, though, because Hebrew is what the Old Testament is written in. And Hebrew, well, that's a monkey, okay? I mean, that was my worst class. There's a funny story behind it one day I'll share with you. But I'm just telling you, I couldn't stand Hebrew. Hebrew, where normal people read from right to left, the Hebrew language is written from left to right. It will mess you up. And especially a southerner like me from South Carolina, where they teach us good or English, I'm still trying to master that language. And now you're throwing at me Hebrew going wrong directions. I don't stand a chance. But the little bit I do know about Hebrew, when God says, he breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living being. He became a living being or a living soul, some of your translation says. The root Hebrew word for living being literally means, and he became a speaking soul. Your dog's not a speaking soul. Your cat definitely is not a speaking soul. Animals can't communicate their dreams. Animals cannot communicate to you in words their fears, their hopes, their aspirations, because they don't have a soul. You are a speaking soul. And just as God had power in his words to create, we can create connections. And through our words used the wrong way, we can create disconnections. The quality of your life. And the reason why you need to come back for the next 3 weeks is the quality of your life hinges on the quality of your relationships. And those are absolutely 100% connected to your words. I'm going to close with a story about the power of words. So when I first became a Christian, I was given a Bible. I started reading that, of course, and yet somebody gave me a book. It was the first Christian book I ever received, certainly ever tried to read. It's called A Quest for Character. I'll never forget, it was a brown book. And the reason I know all the details of it, because I just remember it was so pivotal to me in my new faith. I took it my senior year to Hell Week, which is football camp in Laurinburg, South Carolina. So I had my Bible and I had Quest for Character. And there's this one particular story in A Quest for Character. I'll never forget, and I'm going to read this to you to show you the power of words. It says, as she stood in front of her fifth grade class on the very first day of school, she told the children an untruth. Like most teachers, she looked at her students and she said that she loved them all the same. However, that was impossible. Because there in the front row, slumped in his seat, was a little boy named Teddy Stoddard. Ms. Thompson had watched Teddy the year before, noticed that he did not play well with other children, that his clothes were messy, and that he constantly needed a bath. In addition, Teddy could be unpleasant. It got to the point where Ms. Thompson would actually take delight in marking his papers with a broad red pen, marking bold X's and then putting big F's at the top of his papers. At the school where Ms. Thompson taught, she was required to review each child's past records, and she put Teddy's off until last. However, when she reviewed his file, she was in for a surprise. Teddy's first grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is a bright child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly and has good manners. He is a joy to be around." His second grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is an excellent student, well-liked by his classmates, but he is troubled because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home must be a struggle." His third grade teacher wrote, "His mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't show much interest, and his home life will soon affect him if steps are not taken." Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn and doesn't show much interest in school. He doesn't have any friends, and sometimes he sleeps in class." By now, Ms. Thompson realized the problem, and she was ashamed of herself. She felt even worse when her students brought Christmas presents in, wrapped in beautiful ribbons and bright paper, except for Teddy's. His present was clumsily wrapped in a heavy brown paper that he'd gotten from her grocery bag. Ms. Thompson took pains to open in the middle of the other students. Some of the children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing and a bottle that was one quarter full of perfume. But she stifled the children's laughter when she exclaimed how pretty the bracelet was, putting it on and dabbing some of the perfume on her wrist and on her neck. And she just went on and on with her words, how much she was appreciative of such a great gift. Teddy Stoddard stayed after school that day just long enough to say, "Miss Thompson, today you smell a lot like my mom used to." After the children left, she cried for at least an hour. On that very day, she quit teaching reading and writing and arithmetic. Instead, she began to teach children. Ms. Thompson paid particular attention to Teddy. And as she worked with him and she encouraged him, and she would tell him who he could be, his mind seemed to come alive. And the more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. And by the end of the year, Teddy had become one of the smartest children in class. And despite her lie that she loved all the children the same, Teddy became the teacher's pet. A year later, she found a note under her door from Teddy, telling her that she was the best teacher he'd ever had in his whole life. 6 years went by before she got another note from Teddy. He then wrote that he had finished high school, third in his class, and she was still the best teacher he had ever had. 4 years after that, she got another letter saying that while things had been tough at times, he stayed in school. He'd stuck with it. He would soon graduate from college with the highest of honors. And he assured Ms. Thompson that she was still the best and the favorite teacher he'd ever had in his whole life. Then 4 years passed, and yet another letter came. And this time he explained that after he got his bachelor's degree, he decided to go a little further. And the letter explained that she was still the best and the favorite teacher he'd ever had. But now his name was no longer Teddy. The letter was signed Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. The story does not end there. You see, there was yet another letter that spring. And Teddy said he'd met this girl. And they were going to be married. And he explained that his father had died a couple of years ago and was wondering if Ms. Thompson might agree to sit at the wedding in the place that was usually reserved for the mother of the groom. And of course, Ms. Thompson did. And guess what? She wore that bracelet, the one with several rhinestones missing. And moreover, she made sure to be wearing the perfume that Teddy remembered his mother wearing on their last Christmas together. They hugged each other. Dr. Stoddard whispered in Ms. Thompson's ear, "Thank you, Ms. Thompson, for believing in me. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for all the kind things you've said to me. Thank you for making me feel real important and showing me I can make a difference." Ms. Thompson, with tears in her eyes, whispered back. She said, "Teddy, you have it all wrong. You were the one who taught me I can make a difference. I didn't know how to teach until I met you." The Bible says the power of our tongues, they chart the course of lives. They set the course of lives on fire. And that could be for great, great good, or it could be for awful, awful destruction. We're going to dissect it, and we're going to get into what God's Word says in these next weeks. As we look about even the power of words that have been placed in your heart, for whether you realize it or not, you are the sum total of the words that have been spoken to you. And some of them you wish you believed, and some of them you wish you didn't believe. But they've been spoken, and there they are, and some have found lodging. So I pray that this series, there might be some real healing. And we allow God's word to trump every other word. And only the words that echo our Father's voice are the ones we'll allow to stay in here. So bow with me as we pray. So Father, thank you. Thank you for what you're about to do in these next weeks amongst us. As we go through this series, you said what? Thank you that you have connected to us through the word, the living word, the Lord Jesus. And you have left us the written word to disclose to us the mysteries and the unsearchable riches of Jesus. God, may our appetites be increased. May some try to stimulate their appetites by even this week opening the word, opening the scriptures, so that our hearts can find in you a home they can find nowhere else. And God, may this week, may we give thanks. May we, with our mouths, may we give thanks. May we give praise. May we pray, and may we do so constantly. May we stay connected with you throughout our day by just talking to you, by referencing you. And God, as we are around people that we live with, work with, play with, may we connect with others. May we reconnect with others this week by using words, by telling somebody what they mean to us, by asking forgiveness, by saying I'm sorry, by admitting I was wrong. If you're here this morning and you would like a personal relationship with Jesus, then you got to use your mouth right now in your heart to call upon the name of the Lord, and you can be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So right now, would you do that? Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to make your heart his home. And if you just did that, welcome. Welcome to a family. Welcome to a relationship with a God who loves you. He loves you so much. You've just begun a relationship that's going to never end. At the end of the service, I'm the guy in the Steeler jersey. Would you come by and see me? Or go talk to somebody who maybe you've know that's maybe invited you here. Maybe you think, hey, they got this thing figured out. I'll go talk to them. But maybe you're here today and you're like Ty was earlier this year, Addie was earlier this year, and you just prayed to receive Christ. Please tell somebody today. Give some the opportunity to encourage you. You've just made the best decision ever. We're going to close our service out today. We're going to take up that offering to our and for our Houston brothers and sisters. So, ushers, if you guys would come on down. As we just commit this to the Lord now, Father, our generosity is really your generosity. And so above and beyond our tithes, our offerings, God, we want to send this to the First Baptist Church in Humble area. And we pray that you would intersect the needs in their community with their understanding and the wisdom, and that immediate needs to be met, that people who are already, who have given up hope, maybe through the generosity of Team FBC, the means provided for some well-intentioned people in Humble area, that they would be able to get these funds to them, help them out, and it might create an opportunity for gospel safe conversations to take place, that a greater need might be met and salvation might come to a household, to a mom or to a dad, to children. God, even so, let it be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, if you guys would take that up, I'm going to give you a little direction what we're going to do, and then I'm going to say goodbye. When you leave here today, everybody is going to get a little card. It's a little business-shaped card, and on that is a memory verse for this series. Proverbs 18, verse 21. And that verse starts out by saying that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to take that, and I would like you to put it on your dashboard. I'd like you to put it maybe on your mirror as you're getting ready in the morning, maybe a refrigerator, if you have one of those appetites I was referring to. Wherever you frequent a lot, put it there. And I'd like you to memorize it. Our small groups start back tonight, and so they're going to be encouraging and challenging each other to do that. I'd like to encourage and challenge you to do that, to put God's word going along with this series into your mind. Hopefully God gets it into our hearts. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it concludes, and it says, and those who eat it, so are the quality of their life. It speaks of the quality of life. Those who love it will eat its fruit. That fruit can either be good or it could be bad. It's all contingent from the words you choose to use. All right. Thank you so very much for being here. I look forward to seeing you back next week. God bless you. Love you guys.